Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yep, Bowerly and Bellavia. So, it looks like Iran has snatched a couple of oil tankers, and they're acting all belligerent. One of them is British. The other is a Liberian-flagged oil tanker. But you know, as far as Iran, there was a revolution that tried to get started back in 2009, the so-called Green Revolution, Iranian people sick of being ruled by the theocracy, and remained silent, didn't give it to them. Eventually, he did come out. He said the people of Iran have to decide who's going to govern Iran. And I think he came out and decried the violence used by the Iranian regime against his own people. But when it came to Iran, his viewpoint was it didn't want America to be involved in Iran. When it came to the 2016 election in Israel, he was more than happy to send your money and my money to this group called One Voice in Israel, which worked against the re-election of Benjamin Netanyahu. So one standard for Iran, hands off. Another standard for Israel, let's plunge in and try to get Netanyahu out of power. We could have done something about Iran, maybe, back in 2009, without us really doing anything but offering support, maybe some money, maybe some logistics, maybe some guidance, whatever. But we chose not to. Aren't we happy about that? There's a story. After a week that has seen President Trump and his foes toss toxic words at each other, there is now a warning that the next phase could be violence. Nearly 8 of 10 Americans told Pew Research that supporters for both sides could act on the politically charged rhetoric with violence. Democrats believe this 91%. Republicans believe this 61%. And they want politicians to cool it, supposedly. Americans broadly agree that elected officials should avoid using heated language because it could encourage violence. Nearly 3/4 of Americans say this, while just 1/4 believe that elected officials should be able to use heated language to express themselves without worrying about whether some people may act on what they say. See, the problem with this premise is something we've talked about this week relative to President Bush. Here was a guy who was bullied. Just remember something. Before Donald Trump was Adolf Hitler, George Bush was Adolf Hitler. This is a recurring theme when they don't win an election, when it doesn't go their way. Maybe it's something to do with everybody gets a trophy. People can't deal with losing something. I don't know what is going on, but Bush was somebody who just took it. He didn't say anything in his own defense. He let his own brand become eroded because he was the victim of the bully in the playground who never fought back. And what happens when you don't fight back against a bully? They become emboldened. And the attacks didn't die down on George Bush. Did the attacks on President Bush, and I'm not a real big fan of the Bush family or George W. Bush, just so you know, but the attacks on George W. Bush got louder and louder and louder. And President Bush was muter and muter and muter. He did nothing to defend himself. All he did was encourage even more vicious attacks on him, his administration, his policies, his legacy, anything you want to say. Because George Bush never fought back. And that's what they're used to on the left. They are not used to a Republican president in particular who is willing to give back as good as he gets, and willing to go on the offensive. When you think about George W. Bush, when you think about his father, were these guys you'd want with you in a street fight? When you think about Donald Trump, is he somebody you'd want, well, maybe in his younger years, is he somebody you'd want with you in a street fight? I mean, who's more equipped to deal with the real world? People like George W. Bush or somebody like Donald Trump? And one of the things that his supporters like about Donald Trump is not what this poll says. I really doubt this particular finding in the poll that, well, they should mute their rhetoric. They should quiet things down. I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think people are actually happy that a Republican who is being constantly assaulted by every, just about every single media branch in the world is actually fighting back. But my bigger question to you is the same one I asked you last Friday, and that is, where is all of this going? As you analyze all the X's and all the O's and all the variables, where is this going? Because, you know, Lincoln wrote once, a house divided against itself cannot stand. I think he might have stolen that from somewhere. But that's what Lincoln said when explaining the issue of slavery. So we are so divided in this country. We are so non-united in this country, it's really a misnomer to call this the United States of America anymore. It's more like the disunited States of America. Where do you see it going? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Louis is in East Otto. You are on.
Yes, Tom. You actually touched a good point there when you said that the United States can't stand divided. But here's the thing. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is President Trump the only second president that went from a private citizen to his first election to be the president of the United States other than George Washington? Is he the only other one?
Private citizen?
Well, think about it. I mean, I know George Washington was a general, but when he was his first election, was it to be the president? Did he run for like a some type of congressman before he became president?
I'd have to double check. Wasn't he a member of the Virginia House of Burgesses or something like that? I'd have to double check George Washington's resume.
Donald Trump is not a politician. He's what I would call a breath of fresh air. Because when you ask a politician, especially ours in the governorship, you ask him a question, good luck to try to find the answer after he says something. Because you don't have a clue what he just said. And then you do your...
Could you stop moving around with the phone and maybe just keep your mouth really close to where you speak on the phone because you're going in and out?
Okay, here we go. If you look at Schumer, Schumer's flipped so many times on everything that he wanted to do and not do, he looks like a bad pancake. Same with Nancy Pelosi. Anybody that's been in power as a professional politician only says what they want to say to get reelected. And Donald Trump was a person that became the president to do what he feels the country should have first. I think he truly believed what John F. Kennedy said. Do what you can do for the country and not yourself. And everybody should take a look. When Schumer and these people have flipped, and if you look at the history of what they were for, including President Barack Obama, they were for secure this and for secure that. And to fund this and to fund that, and all of a sudden it becomes Donald Trump, and they hate the guy.
Right. There was actually a time when Democrats said, and so-called, at the time, liberal left-wing Democrats at the time, boy, has that marker switched dramatically, has that changed course, but they actually did want border enforcement. And that was actually one of the deals that Ronald Reagan got snookered over back in the 1980s on the subject of amnesty. He was told that first amnesty and then we'll secure the borders, and the borders never got secured. The situation has just gotten worse. Reagan did a terrible job with that.
Is absolutely. Now, if the American people would just sit down, do a little bit of their own homework, and look at the people that they're voting for, and see how many times they kept true to their self, and not just flip because of either special interest or personal hatred or whatever, but if you look for the good of our country instead of yourself, we'd all be better off.
Well, I mean, that sounds good and fine in the abstract, but in the real world, how does that apply to something like illegals? How does it apply even to a narrow topic like driver's licenses for illegals? Because to some of us, the idea is just patently ludicrous that somebody who is not legally in the United States would be given a legal form of identification. That just makes no sense at all to many of us. And on the other side, we're told that it's a human right. You know, these are the people who always told us that driving was a privilege, not a right. Suddenly, when it's illegal immigrants, it's a right.
then the way you change it is you vote it out. These people just got to go.
But what happens, and this is one of the reasons why people are getting very, very frustrated and concerned. What happens when this country is flooded with so many illegals that there is no opposition? Because the Republican Party, if this keeps up, the Republican Party is a thing of the past. This is going to be a one-party country. And the only choice you're going to have is between socialism and socialism light. The Republicans aren't going to exist. The conservatives aren't going to exist because they're never going to be able to win an election.
You know, Tom, you brought up a good point, and I'm going to leave you with this. When they say the President of the United States does things that he should be impeached, meaning he has a four-year term, just like our senators have a six-year term, if somebody finally takes the stand and says, you know what you're doing as a senator, what you're doing as a governor is illegal against the Constitution, we want to remove you from office early. Let's try that exercise. Let's make it happen. And then when you finally take a stand, where these people can't just say whatever they want because they're protected with 6 years. No, I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Senator. You have to stand by the Constitution. You want to step all over it? Your job is gone.
Yeah, unfortunately, as far as the whole constitutionality thing, when the justice system is largely controlled by the left in this country, what are you going to do? I mean, how many court decisions come out that leave us scratching our heads in great confusion as to how they actually arrived at it? It happens quite frequently, especially with some courts. Thank you for the call. And what is your take on where all of this is going? I started off the hour by talking about the fact that there are a couple of rallies, obviously, that are happening on Sunday, one of which is pro-Donald Trump, the other of which is anti-Donald Trump. And I think it's been through like three different name permutations. It started off as what? Dump Trump, and then it was impeach Trump, and what is it now? Americans reject Trump or something like that. That is not exactly a good way to brand, but I don't really want to offer suggestions or ways to do it. So there's anti-Trump and there's a pro-Trump. And everywhere you really looked on the media this week, it was just another poster week of division, of rancor, of hatred, one side against the other in America. And it doesn't really know any borders. It doesn't really know any boundaries. It is everywhere. And it is on virtually every single major issue you can think of. And it's not like both sides are moving toward the center. It's not like both sides are moving toward some kind of a compromise. They are moving even farther apart and becoming even more deeply entrenched in whatever their position happens to be. And think about it realistically. How can you actually compromise with people who want open borders? What is the compromise there? Somebody explain that to me. What is the compromise? If somebody believes that a nation does not need borders, if somebody believes that anybody in the entire world has a right to come to the United States and come here and live, and you don't want that, because when does it stop? And how many millions of people can this country absorb? How many millions of jobs can the private sector possibly create? And how much could we possibly spend on social programs to keep these people's heads above water when they come here and can't make it? So where's the compromise? You can't compromise. You either believe and support borders and enforcement of borders, or you believe and support open borders and no enforcement of anything. So there is no compromise. All this talk about, well, compromise, reach across the aisle. When you've got two fundamentally, diametrically opposing viewpoints, there is no compromise that you can possibly reach. You either support open borders or you support a border and enforcement of the border. There's no compromise. If there is, I'm sure missing it. Maybe you've got one. So the two rallies this weekend, everything you've heard in the news this week and read in the media this week, my question to you is, where is all of the division and hatred going in America? I mean, some people have said it's going to be a civil war. Some people have said it's going to turn violent. We had that Pew Research poll I read from just a few minutes ago. Some people think it's going to be martial law. Things are going to get violent. There's going to be martial law. But the fundamental issue here is there is no compromise on so many of these contentious issues. This is very it's reminiscent of a war where the only way a war wins is won is one side wins and the other side loses. You don't compromise in a war, and it seems like this is a war. I mean, even people on the left, how are you going to compromise with somebody like me? You support open borders. How are you ever going to give that up when somebody like me says, well, no, a nation without borders isn't a nation, and you've got to control who's coming into your country. And just because you have something good doesn't mean that everybody in the entire world has a right to be here, to take part in it. We're kind of a special place. You can't compromise. There's no compromise to be had. One side wins, one side loses. Here is Bob in Amherst on WBEN. Bob. Oh, by the way, this is a good time to call because I actually have some time here where I'm not interrupted by commercials. So it's 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Bob, go ahead. All right, here's Dwayne in Williamsville. You're on WBEN.
Hi, Tom.
Sir.
How are you?
What's up?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I just wanted to – I was listening and I heard you – I thought I heard you say that you've never seen it this bad before. And I'm going to say, well, obviously in your lifetime, but I'm probably a few years older than you are, and I remember – when I was in junior high school, they didn't call it middle school back then. It was junior high school, and it was connected to a high school. And some of the things that were going on in the late 60s were very, very vicious and very violent. I remember my brother coming home from UB, and there had been a protest, and the police had fired tear gas,
If police fired tear gas today, there'd be a civil rights probe.
Well, that's what they did back then.
And what were they protesting? They were protesting what? Specifically what?
You also had Kent State.
But what were they protesting? Kent State, UB, what were they protesting?
Back then, there were the big three. I mean, they protested Vietnam was the big one. Hell no, we won't go. There was civil rights and abortion. I mean, these were the big three back then.
I don't remember abortion being a part of that, but I'll go with Vietnam and civil rights. Two issues. And basically, the protesters were largely a bunch of college students and radicals, correct?
They were the SDS, as my brother called them, and I'll paraphrase it, the students who dish out stuff.
Right.
It was actually the Students for a Democratic Society.
Right. And they're also, and back in the late 60s and early 70s, you had people who were extremely involved. On the left, you had some people who were involved on the right, but there was what was called at the time the silent majority, people who did not involve themselves with one extreme or the other. In 2019, I would submit to you that it is far worse than it was then because there are no civilians in this. Everybody is involved. You apply for a job. They're going to try to figure out what side you're on. You are on the job, and maybe cuts have to be made. People are not going to cut people on their team. They're going to do anything they can to keep people who are on their team working. There's no civilians in this. Social media and other factors of communication have seen to that.
But if you're a victim of that, if you've been fired or whatever, it's like the silent minority acting against you. It's kind of like a 180 thing. But on the other side, I mean, you still have, you know, these factions. You know, there's still the
pro-abortion back then. I mean, they call it pro-abortion back then. Then it was pro-choice. It was like watered down. Then you have the people that were anti-war. And, you know, Vietnam was a horrible war, you know, but, you know, and I thank God I had a high number. But it's still, I mean, now, you know, everybody, we celebrate our heroes, you know, that defend this country. It's just that things back then were, you know, if Johnson was Nazi, you know, Lyndon Johnson was the Nazi, you know, Richard Nixon was the Nazi. And now it's like, I don't know, for some reason, Bill Clinton escaped that. Jimmy Carter escaped that. I don't know what to tell you. And Obama escaped that. You know, they were not Nazis in the eyes of the silent minority or the loud minority, let's call it.
Right, but you see, you're maintaining that things were worse in the late 1960s with the aforementioned protests, and I honestly don't think...
I remember, Tom, I remember going to a football game in 1966, and then in 68, we couldn't go. You know, because the East Side was ravaged with, you know, people were burning houses.
Well, I remember the first football game my dad took me to at the stadium. We had beer bottles thrown at us on the walkout. And that was, you know, circa 1971, 72, somewhere in there. But I would argue that it is worse today because you cannot escape it. It is impossible to escape it. Like I mentioned last Friday that you meet somebody new in 2019 and you don't know whether they're friend or foe. So you try to poke around. You try to prod. You try to figure out from where they're coming politically because you don't want to say the wrong thing and be called a racist or a white supremacist.
You definitely have to tiptoe. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But back then, I mean, people were definitely in your face. My brother, who was a genius. I mean, he skipped four grades. He went to UB long before his time. I mean, he was a sophomore when he was 17. And people were shoving leaflets in his face. And he came home, you know, was like, well, what's going on? He would explain to me, you know. Oh, I threw his thing on the floor and the guy pushed me over, you know. So it's kind of like back then. I mean, they were, I don't know, they were kind of violent. I don't know. And the people that were against them, like the National Guard and the police, stuff like that, they didn't pull any punches either. I mean, I remember the Life magazine photo of the girl putting the flower in the barrel of the M16 or M15 or whatever it was. I mean, it was very... very telling moment. It's like, what is this all about?
You know? And I think this particular moment is all encompassing with no civilians. I mean, it's not limited to UB, which was the scene of much tumult, or as you mentioned, Kent State, where four kids died. It's not limited to little clusters anymore, or little cells, if you will. It's all over the place. You can't avoid it.
Well, I do have a millennial that goes to college now, and in her particular community, which is a private college, it's more they're more guarded, but the bias is still there. The bias is definitely there. As far as not, I don't know, I'm losing my train of thought here.
All right, it happens to me frequently. You know, we did the show yesterday on "You Knew You Were Old When." Don't feel bad. After doing that show today, ironically, I forgot to bring in my own reading glasses and had to borrow Tim Winger's. Thanks very much. Appreciate the call. Is it as bad now as it has ever been? Was the Vietnam era worse? I was a little boy when those protests at UB were going on. I remember my parents expressing concern about what was happening at UB and how those UB students really needed to get a life and how they were wrecking everything. Where is all of this going? All of the hatred, all of the division, when I don't really think compromise is going to be found. You're going to compromise on illegal immigration? You're going to compromise on abortion? You're going to compromise on President Trump? There's no compromise there. What do? You either love the guy or you hate the guy with a few people in the middle. But there's nobody. There are so few issues on which there is going to be a compromise. It's like I said, it seems to me more and more like a one side wins and one side loses proposition because you can't compromise. Here is Sandy in Lockport next up on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. I was just writing down a few things here. I think the Democrats' main objective is to bankrupt the country and get that debt from $22 trillion as high as they possibly can.
Well, the Republicans haven't done an awful lot to stop them.
Well, I think this is all a smokescreen, and I think Trump is trying to keep these people out. You know what happened to Tibet.
Yeah, are you on a speakerphone?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, could you get off the speakerphone like the call screener asked you to do, please?
Well, see, I'm not familiar with these phones.
All right, well, you better not do it then.
Yeah, Tom, if you could just bear with me, because I'm not too illiterate with the computer phone here. I got a new phone. But that giant sucking sound that Perot talked about, it's morphed, and now it's coming. And they're after our Social Security and our other safety net programs.
We're not going to have any social safety net programs if this immigration continues, because we can't afford them. People who were legally born in the United States who run into hard times are not going to have anywhere to turn, because every last dollar allocated for social programs is going to end up being consumed and eaten by people who weren't born here, who came here illegally. We can't do it.
That's the Zelensky way. Overload the system and make people be upset with the government. And then they lie and lie and say they're not to blame. It's the government. They're overspending, when people know that we cannot have these hordes coming in and pay for every social program for them and still have our Social Security and our way of life.
But there are people, and I'm sure some of them are listening right now, who have absolutely no problem with the hordes that are coming in and coming in and coming in. They think it's great. They think it is the best thing ever.
Well, what about that giant sucking sound?
They couldn't care less about the giant sucking sound. They think that everybody who wants to come into the United States, legally or not, has a right as a human being, by virtue of being born anywhere in the world, to be a part of the United States of America.
Well, you know, they can say what they want. Talk is cheap. But what is the battle?
Well, forget the talk. Look what's actually happening on the border.
No, what I'm saying is the lies, the propaganda that they're spilling to us every single day. These are smoke screens as they're coming more and more over the border. That's the main objective, is to get so many people in this country that they overload the system. That's a Zelensky play.
All right. Thank you very much. 449 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I think it also has a lot to do with the census coming up in 2020 and how our representatives are all apportioned and all that kind of stuff. But the larger goal here, I think, is to de-Americanize America, make this a country that is absolutely unrecognizable. You know, when Barack Obama talked about fundamentally changing America, we are seeing the fruits right now of a fundamental transformation of America. And you think America is a better country now than it was when Barack Obama took office? You think we're a more civil country than when Barack Obama took office? He was the guy who was supposed to heal us. He was the guy who was supposed to unite us. He was the first black president. I suppose we should just blame Donald Trump for all the division in America and all the rancor in America. And what that means is Republicans and people on the right should never respond when they're insulted and called out by the left. And when they do respond, they should respond according to the Marquis of Queensbury rules. It's very one-sided. It is the day of horrific cell phones. Joe, I'm going to try this again. Hello.
Hello?
Go ahead. You're on. Are you on Bluetooth or something?
You know what I really don't understand for the immigrants? And listen, I understand people should, you know, they want to come to our country. But my wife worked for 43 years. She was born in 67. She worked in the nursing field. She was put on Medicaid Part B, and she almost died from MRSA. I mean, they actually ate her arms. Like, you ever watched the show Walking Dead?
Not into it.
Yeah, no, I know you're not into it, but how it looks, I could actually see her tendons moving in her arm.
Horrible.
Even though she's a citizen, they put her on Medicaid Part B. But they wouldn't even cover the medicine. They put her on, like, the second down stage of the medicine.
So how does this tie into everything we're talking about with the division in America and where it's going? I'm sorry to hear about your wife.
Oh, no, she's fine now. She's good. It's just I don't I'm sorry about this, sir. It's just the division is far as like immigrants coming in, and yeah, we are way mixed up all over the place.
So, well, when you say mixed up, where do you see things being mixed up?
As far as political parts?
Everything that we have talked about. I mean, I think that the illegal invasion of America was the tipping point in this country as far as people getting involved.
You're 100% correct. It's not fair anymore. I mean, citizens that do everything correct, but you let people come in and get driver's license, they get better health insurance than you have or I have, and we pay for it. It's messed up.
Hey, the whole idea of free health insurance for illegals is it's beyond laughable, but it actually is the law in California and probably elsewhere, too, and probably the wave of the future because, you know, it's just wild. I can't be the only person who feels like born in America, Americans are getting the short end of the stick, and the people who came here illegally are being rewarded and lionized by one side as if they've done something noble. They haven't done anything noble any more than somebody barging into your house at 3 a.m. is doing something noble. They're invading. They're doing something wrong. They're doing something illegal. It is 4:55 at News Radio 930 WBEN, and it's not an illegal, you know, it's not victimless crime illegal. I mean, I'm one of these freaks who thinks that the victimless crimes need to be taken off the statute books, and we are a freer nation from the laws.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.